Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've had you covered really throughout the weekend here into this show right now on the termination of Brian Gaine and what looks to be a general manager search that is solidifying here. There's a story up on our website on sportsradio610.com that we'll dig into here in just a second. But my name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing well, Sean. I've really enjoyed everything both on air and online from Sports Radio 610 since Friday. The whole notion of dropping a bombshell like this on a Friday afternoon to somehow minimize the chatter in the ensuing hours and days has been completely blown away by everything we've had to talk about and write about and speculate about over the last couple of days. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the primary focus of our conversation today will not be Carlos Correa's apparent pre-existing injury, will not be Yordan Alvarez's explosive debut in the big leagues, will not be Mike D'Antoni resuming talks with the Rockets, and will not even be David Ortiz
taking a
slug in the DR,
yeah,
and the Red Sox apparently sending a plane to bring him to the States for apparently superior medical care. No, all that's going on.
Yeah.
It's about the Texans, yeah, and their search for the next general manager.
Good that you got all that in, Rich,
because that'll be
that's
it.
About the extent. Stay tuned for the top five at five.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
We're going to continue to dig in on this Texans news.
Oh, and there's some game. Basketball game tonight also.
There is, absolutely. It's funny, you bring up the Friday news dump aspect of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, most of the time when there's a Friday news dump, as you just said, it's because whoever's dumping the news wants to somehow hide behind the behind the subterfuge of the weekend and people getting away and people.
It's an attempt to bury the headline.
I don't know why you'd want to do that if I were the Texans. I think this is a great move. I'm pro this move. I am pro. What Cal McNair, the message that's being sent here. I have nothing against Brian Gaine, but if ultimately the possession arrow appears to be pointed in the direction of an upgrade, a general manager, don't hide behind anything. Drop this baby in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, man.
Right? I mean, I know John's got a great report speculating that things could be settled by the end of the week and that Jack Easterby could essentially be the major domo of the organization with Nick Caserio coming in as at least holding the title of general manager. And if all that happens, I'll agree with you. But I think initially on Friday afternoon, this was not a good look for the Texans. This was not, I mean, you give a guy a five-year deal and less than 18 months into that five-year deal, you're charting a new direction. This does not suggest stability or even suggest we know what we're doing. Now, like I said, things could turn out really well for the Texans as a result of this, but I think the initial reaction by most was, what the hell are they doing over there? They don't know what they're doing over there.
The first 5 minutes, yeah, but once you start to learn some things, look, by the time I was sitting in this chair at 7 o'clock on Friday night doing the emergency show with Lopez and Cecil Shorts, I just like the message, Rich. Brian Gaine's not a good enough GM to where I'm worried about what this means for Brian Gaine. He was here for a year and a half.
Yeah, I like the message depending on the outcome of the move.
Well, I need to have an opinion on it now. My opinion on it right now is that I like the move because I'm confident that Cal McNair is a smart enough business person to kind of know which way the wind is blowing on what the solution is going to be.
What gives you that confidence?
That he has a solution in place?
Why are you confident in his ability to do this? Because this is a sort of maiden voyage for Cal McNair. These are the early days of his stewardship of this franchise. There's not a lot to go on that would suggest one way or the other that he knows what he's doing or he doesn't know what he's doing.
I get it, but he's been around his dad, who's been a successful business person. He's been part of successful businesses himself. And I think, Rich, to me, I think it's hiring 101 with something like this, that when you make a move like this that appears to be a very decisive, maybe impulsive, some would say, move, that you've at least got some sort of blueprint in place to know that your solution to replace that person. It has nothing, obviously has nothing to do with his body of work. He's been in, on the job for 6 months, but I just feel like the guy's been around enough good businesses and he seems like a smart enough person to where that would be, it's to me, it's just logical. It is logical that if you're doing this with Brian Gain, that whatever the improvement is, that you've got a pretty good idea that you've got a beat on that improvement. And that improvement, according to the story on our website, appears to be Nick Caserio, who's been in the Patriots organization since Bill O'Brien was there, and the two are very close. And he was the first choice, reportedly, when they made the hire of Brian Gain.
Absolutely. His first name John brought up with us on Friday afternoon. And if they find a way to get Nick Caserio here, that would be, I think, considered a win and a good move in the right direction for the Texans. I guess I'm just a little more skeptical at this point about what they did on Friday, since it is still so early on. I found it kind of amusing that no sooner than the Texans fired Brian Gain and opened up a GM search, that the New York Jets said, Joe Douglas is our guy. You can't have Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is off the market.
Well, they basically had to show up at his front door with a cardboard check and tell him to fill in the amount.
And he was, if you remember, about a year and a half ago, one of those names that popped up that the Texans were interested in talking to before they hired Brian Gain. They were denied permission to speak with Douglas. And he, you know, the Jets' handling of the Mike Maccagnan situation was a cluster, you know what, as far as I'm concerned. Because they clearly did not have, okay, we're making this move because we know exactly what's going to happen after we make this move. They fumbled around for, a couple of months trying to figure out exactly what their next move would be. The sooner the Texans make a definitive move toward hiring a new GM and establishing a new power structure, the better I'm going to feel about this seemingly impulsive move less than a year and a half into a five-year contract.
Yeah, no, make no mistake, Rich. I could have egg on my face when this is all said and done, but I truly believe that this is a move that has the makings of a process that's in place, that has the makings of, look, they talked about the article that Lopez has up on the website, talks about Jack Easterby, who, by the way, is a name you all are going to need to get to know, because he is a new power player in the building over there. He's a senior vice president. He's the former character coach with the Patriots, and he's now very involved in team development with the Texans. And he played a big role in this decision to fire Brian Gain. He's been evaluating the Texans' operations going all the way back to April 2nd. So this is not something where they woke up on Thursday and said, you know what, this Brian Gain guy's no good for us. Let's fire him, and then we'll figure it out. There's got to be somebody good out there. Rich, this tells me, and this goes back to the question you asked me, why am I confident in that? Because I'm learning more and more about the process that went into this. And just because Brian Gain was doing an okay job doesn't mean you get to keep that job if you're just doing an okay job.
No, I agree with that. I just feel like the job Brian Gain did in those 17 months, the jury's completely out for me on whether or not he did a good job.
Right.
I mean, if Tytus Howard and Max Sharping turn out to be long-term successful solutions toward rebuilding the offensive line, if Bradley Roby turns his career around, if the $18 million to Aaron Colvin turns out in the long run to be money well spent, if Tayshaun, I mean, there's a lot
of ifs, my man.
Almost every move he's made since he came on board is kind of an incomplete, except for the really good ones, which is obviously Justin Reed and I think Kiki QT, although obviously he's had a tough time staying on the field. There's just still so much to be determined about how good or bad a job that Brian Gain did as the GM. That's why I found the move on Friday puzzling, and I still, to a certain extent, find it puzzling.
Well, if you find the article on our website, sportsradio610.com, to me, the biggest takeaway from that article is that the timeline is in place and the Texans expect to have this general manager job filled by Friday. So, Rich, as you and I have different degrees of skepticism about this, I'm more enthusiastic about what's taken place in the last 3 or 4 days than you are. If you and I are doing the show a week from today and the general manager position is still open, then I will probably skew more towards your side, where I go, okay, well, whatever plan they had in place blew up in their face. I personally, I like having somebody in charge at the very, very tippy top of this organization who is making decisive, against the grain moves, and that's what they did on Friday. That's number one. Number two, there's enough stuff going on, enough smoke around Caserio and some of the other candidates here, to where I feel pretty good about the fact that what we're reporting here on sportsradio610.com is going to come true, that they're going to have a general manager in place who, to me, and we can talk about Nick Caserio maybe in the next segment, Landry and John played some audio from him a little bit earlier in their show that I want to dig into. Some of the things that he thinks philosophically about how you go about roster building, to me, I know we can talk about each of Brian Gain's little individual moves and how good they were. To me, Rich, if you're finding football reasons to fire Brian Gain, it's the moves he didn't make. It's the moves that, quite frankly, you've been very critical of.
No question.
Didn't go out and get an offensive lineman.
I mean, they've still got like $41 million, roughly, of the roughly $70 million they had to spend entering this offseason. They haven't exactly gone on a spending spree.
And that might, to me, Rich, cancel out a bunch of the good moves that he's made, that you went into an offseason with a gigantic sense of urgency, and you're still the team that has the second most cap space sitting there. Either means that Brian Gain has maybe misvalued some of these players out there, or he can't close the deal. Like Roger Saffold going to the Tennessee Titans would have been a huge upgrade on the offensive line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.